Game 730 AM Studio is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the Game 730 AM. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
Time to play the game.
Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't the safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us through the Game 730 AM app. Message the Game 730 AM on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend.
Now, here's your host and professional hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome in. It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on Lansing's only sports station, the Game 7:30 a.m. So happy to have you with us on a hump day edition of the program. Set the table for you before we dive in. Here are all the ways for you to participate in Offensive Minded, to share your hot takes, to post me up, to tell me how I am the voice of reason in Lansing Sports Radio. You don't have to tell me that. It's gratuitous at this point. I already know. 517-300-4263 is the phone number. You can email the program, beanie@wvfnam.com. Use Facebook to send us a message or post a comment. Search Facebook for the Game 730 AM to do that. And then there's always the free Game 730 AM app, which if you don't already have, you are missing out. Go to the Apple App Store or Google Play. Search for the Game 730 AM. Download that bad boy. Okay, and not only will you be able to click chat in the main menu and send a text message to us for free that we'll read on air, there's also listen live feature. Wherever you are in the world, take us with you on the go. Get all of our articles and stories right there in the palm of your hand, and also access to podcasts, promotions, and all that stuff. Enable notifications to get a head start on that kind of stuff. We'll send you alerts right to your phone or mobile device, whatever we're calling those nowadays. Okay, cool. All right, now that the table is set, hello, Dr. J. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm all right. I wanted to dig in with this right away because I would be very interested to hear your analysis of this. Obviously, the coaching search is on everyone's mind. That is the number one story about Michigan State football, and that's a damn shame because it's rivalry week. The game should be the number one focus, of course, but, you know, State didn't
should
hold
it?
Up. It should, but State didn't hold up its end of the bargain for the second straight year, which, you know, that sucks. It sucks for all of us. And I think it even sucks for Michigan fans. I mean, don't get it twisted. I also would love to be the officiant of my arch rival's funeral on their own turf. And I would love to be the one to sprinkle the earth over their lifeless corpse. I would love to do that. So I don't have any qualms with Michigan fans who are relishing that this Saturday night here. I would want the same thing. And frankly, I want them to do that, as we've discussed. I have entered a stretch of masochism with Michigan State football this season. And not just out of spite, although I'll be honest, most people have blood coursing through their veins. I have pure, unadulterated spite. It is my life force.
True.
But I'm spiteful, but I want Michigan to make it hurt. Not because I'm a masochist, although it feels like it when you sign up to be a Michigan State fan. Mm-hmm. But because I want there to be a clear message sent to the people in charge that they have screwed the pooch and they can't afford to do it again, or the scene that's going to unfold on Saturday night is going to become the norm, not the exception. I want them to make it so bad that it forces action, the kind of action that can't be wrong. I want it to move the needle in a meaningful way so that the people in charge at Michigan State not only accept but embrace the magnitude of this moment and get it right. Now, to some of you, that may mean Urban Meyer. Yeah, okay, I'd be good with that. And I'm not ashamed to say it. It's weird. Michigan fans are trying to control this story and make State fans feel ashamed for wanting Urban Meyer. Last I checked, the guy is one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. So if you have a chance to get him, to me, that just means congratulations. You have an IQ of at least triple digits. Mm-hmm. I don't see why that's a bad thing. I understand why Michigan fans are trying to downplay it. They're scared bleepless. They're peeing down their leg. I get it. Look, I wouldn't want my boogeyman back on my front door, this time on the Western Front. I get it, but just be honest about it, and that's okay. Hey, when Ohio State hired him 11 years ago, that's what I said. I said, I hate this because I don't want him in the Big Ten. That's bad news for the rest of the Big Ten, but I don't care about that. That's bad news for me. This is going to make it harder on my program. That's not something to be ashamed of. But anyway, I'm getting derailed a little bit. I wanted to run this by you, Dr. J, and this is not a bit. I'm using it for content, sure, but that's kind of my formula. By now, you should realize that I'm a graduate of the Howard Stern School of Talk-Based Radio. I believe in using everything in my actual real life as content. I tell people all the time, and Dr. J can vouch for this, if you have something to say to me, like talking about people I work with, if you have something to say to me, save it for on air. I'd rather use it as content. So I'm going to practice what I preach here. Okay. Go something like this. I'm not kidding. I had a vision. I had an actual vision. It came to me in a dream.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm not kidding. I think from now on, this will be called Offensive Minded with Ezekiel.
Oh.
I'm going to take on a biblical prophetic name because the Lord is sending me visions in my dream. Or.
All right, tell me your vision.
Or. It could be a byproduct of the Z-Quil I take to go to sleep sometimes. Whatever. Z-Quil, God, it doesn't really matter. We're getting lost in the weeds here. The point is I had a vision. And I'm not kidding. I had a dream last night that Michigan State made its next coaching hire. It was like it's like I ascended to heaven in the fiery chariot. Or maybe if you want to take a more negative approach, it was like the book of Revelation, where God showed John what the end of the world's going to look like. Maybe that's it. No, it's not that, because I did not see Michigan State hiring Chris Creighton, the lame Eastern coach. No, Michigan State did not hire Dan Enos. No, Michigan State did not hire Tony Anise, the Ferris State head coach. And no, oh my God, here's an opportunity for me to talk about this. Real quick, we got this comment over the weekend on the Game 730 AM Facebook page. I don't know who, I had to look this up, and I can't even remember the name now. But someone commented on one of the stories we had up about Michigan State's coaching search. And this person, it doesn't matter who the commenter was listing all of the prerequisites that I have said Michigan State needs to meet. Specifically, the next coach needs to be someone who's a proven program builder, someone who embraces and likes and is successful at recruiting, someone who's on the low side of 50, someone who's an offensive-minded coach and proven innovator, things like this. This person, I forget who it was, but that doesn't matter. listed all of these qualities and then said, and I'm not making this up, there's only one person who meets all of these criteria. There's only one person Michigan State should be even attempting to hire as its next head football coach. So naturally, you know, me, again, having a triple-digit IQ, maybe not.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought he was going to say Urban Meyer. But he said, that person is Sparky McEwen.
Huh?
Now, when I heard that, I originally thought this guy was invoking the name of some, like, pre-TV era MLB legend, like Honus Wagner. Sparky McEwen sounds like the name of some ancient baseball legend. Like, you know, back in the day when radio was still the preeminent sports broadcast format. Like, and Sparky McEwen with a three-run home run, and the Yanks have won the pennant. Have won the pennant. Sparky McEwen, by golly, he's the biggest bat around, you know. Something like that. Boy. That's what I thought that name reminded me of. I look it up. Sparky McEwen is the head coach at Davenport Football. Davenport.
What?
Yes, Davenport. The same Davenport that has seemingly a satellite campus in every urban place in Michigan. And no offense to Davenport. If you went to Davenport, I'm not denigrating your education or your school. I don't do that. I'm not a Walmart Wolverine. I don't care where you did or didn't go to school. I think a lot of people get a quality education at Davenport. But I am taking a verbal you-know-what on Davenport football. I don't care what they've accomplished. And I don't even know what division they are. Are they in a division? Is it just intramural? The fact that people are still doing this crap. I got someone seriously invoking the name of Davenport's coach as someone Michigan State should be looking at for its next head coach. Man, you want to know how poisoned the well is in this state? You got Michigan fans shaming Michigan State for having the quote-unquote temerity to want Urban Meyer. You got the media force-feeding names like Chris Creighton down our throats. And then we got our own damn fans who apparently can't see through the very transparent narrative building going on the other end of this, buying into this crap and then saying, yeah, we should look at Davenport's coach. I thought until this point, the worst name I had heard was Tony Anise at Ferris State. Joe and Lansing called up several weeks ago and mentioned that, and I dunked all over him. It's never personal with me on this show. Everyone ought to know that by now, but that doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. So Joe knows that. He's a long enough listener, long-time listener. He knows it's not personal. But that sent me to the proverbial moon. Joe, I have to apologize. Because I know when you called in and said that I told you that was the dumbest suggestion I had heard. And that if that was serious, if Michigan State was serious about looking into Tony Anise, which, by the way, they're not. But if they were, I would just quit Michigan State football. I would be done. Because it would be clear to me there's no seriousness to the program. Joe, I apologize. That wasn't fair to you. Because while I thought the suggestion of Tony Anise was an all-time low, here came this guy on Facebook building out a crawl space underneath Joe's pick. Sparky McEwen? The name alone disqualifies him. There's a reason this dude's at Davenport. Oh, and the best part is this guy on our Facebook page who suggested Michigan State should look into Davenport coach Sparky McEwen. The best part is this guy was naming all the qualifications I listed as reasons why. He's listing them. Offensive innovator. He's built a program. He's a good recruiter. He's on the right side of 50. Well, first of all, the guy's 54. Again, you need a triple-digit IQ to participate in this discussion. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is, no, that's not who came to me in the vision. The vision that I believe was sent to me by God last night, early this morning. Mm-hmm. Either sent by the Lord himself, Jehovah, or perhaps Zequel. I'm not sure which. Doesn't matter. And I'm not making this up. This is who they hired in my dream. And I'll tell you why I can remember it so vividly. It was Luke Fickell. Now I know what you're thinking. Didn't they try that already? Yes, they did. They sure as bleep did. Back in 2020, they did. Now, what you've been told by the media is that Luke Fickell's wife had serious reservations about the campus culture and the culture of sexual assault that pervades East Lansing. And that they just, as a result, they couldn't bring their six children here. Okay, well, I get that that is good for clicks. And I get that that's right in line with the Detroit media narrative. But that ain't the truth. Okay? Now, listen. If you're connected, you know the truth. And I'm not saying you have to be connected to figure out the truth either. But people who know, know. And that was not the reason. And I'll just give you a nutshell version. If you disagree with me and you choose not to believe me, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, do I think I'm the most connected person? No. But I know some people who are. And the actual tale of the tape goes something like this. Michigan State had Luke Fickell sewn up. It was done. All that was left were the legalities and formalities of crossing T's and dotting I's on a piece of paper. But then, and buckle up because you're not going to believe this, the Board of Trustees got involved and meddled where it shouldn't have. And what do you know? It all blew up, and something that was really good and I think would have kept us on the trajectory we wanted and would have made a ton of sense and probably been something we could sustain for a long time goes bye-bye because of career opportunists and politicians on the board who are more interested in worshiping at the altar of their political party and scoring points than doing their freaking job, which in this case was to stay out of the damn way. That's what really happened. You don't believe me? Fine. But anyway, the point is, I said this on the show, I think 2 weeks ago. Just because he told you once before doesn't mean it's not worth trying again. Will it be more expensive this time? Yes. Yes. Because Wisconsin, believe it or not, somehow is paying him well. Wisconsin has lost a ton of coaches, you know, over the years in various sports because they don't pay. But they're paying Luke Fickell $7.8 million per year. That's really good. Really good. That's competitive within this mega conference that we call the Big Ten. That's competitive nationally. It puts him in the top 15 nationally. That's a lot of money. So, you know, if you want Luke Fickell, if you want to make any like serious headway into getting him to consider leaving Madison after one season and to try to mend the fences that were destroyed by this completely incompetent, god-awful board of trustees 3 years ago, what do you think you got to start at, Dr. J, to get that guy to consider that? Probably 12?
I would say maybe 11.
You got to make it worth his while, right? I mean, he's not going to leave that situation for $1 or $2 million more per year. So we can quibble about the amount. But yes, it would take a lot of money. But hey, I think we have plenty of indication that the purse strings at Michigan State are willing to spend. I don't know if they would be on Luke Fickell. But listen, this was the guy. This was the guy they wanted last time and had at the goal line. They had it on the 1 yard line and then pulled a U of M in the playoff and fumbled it at the one, screwed it all up. But he was clearly the guy. And Mel Tucker was just the safety net, the safety candidate, which wound up having to go with because they didn't think Luke Fickell would not work out. But, you know, you underestimate the incompetence of their own board. Anyway, why not try that again? Because they'll get told no? Okay, fine. That doesn't cost anything. In fact, again, I think I've said this before. I don't have a problem with Michigan State swinging for coaches and being told no, especially in conference. Because, again, you go after Luke Fickell or Kalen DeBoer or someone mentioned Chip Kelly a week ago. Whatever. You go after one of those guys. The worst that could happen is Seriously, the absolute worst case scenario is they tell you no, and as a byproduct, you screw a conference rival over into having to spend more money on their coach, which is good for you. That's good for Michigan State. Because Wisconsin doesn't have as much money as you. UCLA, Washington don't have as much money as you. If you go after their coach and they say no, you're probably going to drive up the bidding on them, though. And that's going to hurt. That's going to put a pinch on those schools that'll manifest some other way positively for Michigan State. It is a no-lose situation. Why not try? I've talked to people about this in my personal life, that I think they should at least call Luke Fickell again. And people look at me like I'm talking about, I don't know what an equivalent would be. I don't know, a divorced couple remarrying. Well, my response would be, that happens more often than you think, first of all. Doesn't it, Dr. J? Why don't you tell us about that?
Oh, boy.
Okay, you don't want to...
I mean, my grandparents got divorced and remarried and then divorced again.
Yeah, so it happens. But, you know, that's like a silly anecdote. The truth is, even if you don't think there's a serious shot of Luke Fickell wanting to come, you know, to have a conversation with Michigan State again, what does it hurt to try? You know, people on the other half of this building we work in, Dr. J, have a really good saying that applies to their line of work, but I actually think it's a life lesson. You can't get the order if you don't ask for the sale.
Right.
And what harm is there in asking? I can't believe we have people that actually think State shouldn't ask these people or shouldn't make at least an overture. I'm talking about Luke Fickell. But there are people who say that about Urban Meyer. It's a waste of time. So, what's the worst that happens? You get told no. And if it's someone in your conference, you get told no, but then you cost that competitor resources. That's a win. But anyway, I legitimately had that vision. The Michigan State ended up with Luke Fickell. And the reason I remember it, most of the time, Dr. J, I don't remember my dreams most of the time. Do you?
Not really.
I mean, sometimes I do, but I feel like it's a crapshoot. Either I remember it in vivid detail, or I have no idea what happened in my brain for the 7 hours or whatever before. Well, this one, it was vivid detail because it was so stark. And the reason I say that is because I remember thinking in my dream when the news broke that State hired Luke Fickell. I can't believe I'm telling this stupid story out here. Well, in my dream when the story broke, the reason I can remember this all so well is I remember the anger and frustration that just possessed my entire dream body. Not because they hired him, because I'd be happy with that, but because I remember my initial reaction was, this was my suggestion and I got laughed out of town about it.
Why did that make you mad?
Because it happened. And I was right. And I didn't get any damn credit.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But yeah.
I'm sure you gave yourself plenty of credit in your dream.
That's kind of like where...
in real life if it happened.
Well, that's where the recollection of the dream ends. With me just being incredibly bitter. What do you know?
Shocking.
But yeah, I figured I'd start with that. That'd be a fun little anecdote to start the show. As we, you know, continue down the coaching search rabbit hole. And oh my God, is it a rabbit hole? I mean, if you're not someone who keeps up on MSU Twitter, you are missing out on some truly entertaining content. Last night, MSU Twitter was at it again, tracking flights.
Oh boy.
And you know what? Look, I don't have any inside info on this one, at least not yet. I'm working on it. But, you know, we talked yesterday about Urban Meyer's comments at the Knoxville Quarterback Club Monday afternoon when he was asked, you're being linked to at least a couple of different openings potentially in college football. Any interest in coming back? And he said, no desire to coach again. Emphatically, he said that a couple of times. And he referenced that it's never been harder to be a college football coach, specifically calling out the transfer portal and NIL. And he talked about how bad his lifestyle got last time he was a coach. He was addicted to sleeping pills, stuff like that, and his health problems in the past. Yada, yada, yada. We all know that. But MSU Twitter has been really good at keeping up on these flights. And so Monday afternoon, after Meyer wrapped up his talk in Knoxville, there was a flight on a chartered jet from Knoxville to Sarasota, Florida. Sarasota, Florida, by the way, is the home of is one of Urban Meyer's homes, and I believe that is the actual business address they use for his nonprofit, the family's nonprofit they run there. So my understanding is he spends a lot of time in Sarasota this time of year. Okay, so I think it's probably safe to assume that chartered flight from Sarasota, or from Knoxville to Sarasota, was probably him, right? Probably. Just
yeah.
Connect the dots. What's interesting, though, is there was a flight from Lansing, Capital Region International Airport, to that same Sarasota airport Tuesday morning. But this was, when I read this stuff, I don't really get into it because the aviation industry is a busy one. There are a lot of flights all the time. If you don't, I mean, I know most people know that, but to visualize it, go to Flight Tracker on the internet and just look at the map. You can't see the land because on the map, the icons of all the planes, there's so many planes in the air at any given time. It's crazy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is the part that got my attention. When I see that kind of stuff, is it fun, interesting? I guess, but I don't really make anything of it. But this part did, I'll admit, I raised an eyebrow. Because again, we had the flight Monday afternoon from Knoxville to Sarasota, okay? And then there's a flight from Capital Region International Airport to Sarasota yesterday morning, Tuesday morning. And also, not long after that yesterday, there was a flight from Scottsdale, Arizona to Sarasota. Well, what does that matter? Well, who's behind the big push to hire Urban? And we have confirmed in multiple reports now, that would be Michigan State's most preeminent billionaire benefactor, Matt Ishbia. Where has Matt Ishbia been spending a lot of time lately? Oh, I don't know. Maybe where his new NBA and WNBA teams are in Arizona. And the NBA season about to begin. It would make sense that Ishbia is out there. He just hired the highest paid WNBA coach of all time. He just made that hire. It would make sense that he was in Arizona conducting that business. And then the day after Urban Meyer flies back to Sarasota, and just hours after there's a flight from Lansing to Sarasota, we have a chartered flight from Scottsdale, Arizona to Sarasota. Interesting. Now, again, I would caution you, if you're someone who follows this and you think that's like undeniable proof that here's what people are saying. The assumption is that the flight from Lansing to Sarasota was MSU brass. So Alan Haller and other administrators and power brokers from the university. And then the flight from Scottsdale, of course, would be Matt Ishbia, who's the money bags making this push. We know that for sure, that he's behind, at least largely behind, the Urban Meyer drive, right? That they were all meeting down there to discuss the job with Urban Meyer. Maybe they were. Maybe they weren't. I don't think there's enough to go off of based on those flights, because there are a million flights every day, right? What do you make of it, Dr. J? Do you think there's a there? Do you think that constitutes smoke?
I think it's interesting information. It's fun to think about, but I don't know that that's enough. You're right.
Yeah.
To have anything like substantial.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's fun to talk about or to tweet about. It's a good way to waste some time on a Tuesday evening on Twitter, or excuse me, X.com.
Whatever.
That's about it, though. That's not enough to go off of. Now, like I told you yesterday, I don't think the Urban Meyer thing is done. I just don't. Why? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because this industry is not exactly unused to prominent names saying they're not interested in returning, or they're not interested in that job or this job, only to be introduced by that job mere days or weeks later. That's why, you know what my favorite thing is so far, Dr. J? You tell me if I'm off base on this. But for the better part of the last month, there have been three distinct demos weighing in on the Urban Meyer debate, saying there's no way it's possible, it'll never happen at Michigan State. And they break down like this. Michigan fans, who have perhaps been the most vocal, they are so interested in MSU's coaching search. Wow. I mean, imagine how interested they would be if Michigan State was actually a rival. But they're very invested in this, especially the Urban Meyer part. Because you look at any article, any Facebook post, any tweet, the replies or comments on an Urban Meyer Michigan State story, post, article, tweet, whatever it is, are full of Michigan fans. Full of them. They're outweighing the Michigan State fans in the replies and comments. I find that bizarre. No, I don't. I find it telling. That's what it is. But anyway, that's one big chunk of it. Another big chunk is the media. The media types who have been out there saying that this isn't real, this isn't a possibility, including, very bizarrely, I like Joe Rexroad a lot. One of the great guys in the media. And I'm talking about person-wise. Awesome dude. And if you've never met Joe and you just hate him for something he wrote or tweeted once, well, shame on you, because he's an awesome dude. You won't find anyone in the media who has a bad thing to say about Joe Rexroad. Awesome guy. I like him a lot. But I thought it was so weird that Joe Rexroad, who now covers like Nashville-based sports, including the Tennessee Titans for The Athletic, last week or the week before, he just decided to write a column about how Michigan State and Urban Meyer doesn't make sense. I just thought that was so weird. I mean, the guy can write about what he wants to write about in his own space. I can't believe his editors at The Athletic were like, yeah, go ahead and write a story about Michigan State because, you know, that's what we're paying you to do here in Nashville. I don't know. I thought that was really weird. One of the weirder things that have happened so far, an ex-MSU beat writer using his actual column space in a different market to call out Michigan State for the Urban Meyer dalliance. Very bizarre. Anyway, the media is a big chunk of this. And then the third and final chunk of people who have been condemning the Urban Meyer possibility at Michigan State are State fans themselves. A big chunk of you out there who are obsessed with character and morality and integrity in college football, as if that ever existed here in the first place, let alone now. I mean, whatever. If you have this fond misremembering of the way things never were in college football, and that's how you deal with this day and age of players getting paid, and like some quarterbacks who don't even play yet, like Arch Manning, making more money than starting NFL quarterbacks this year. If that's what you got to do to get by, you got to trick yourself into some fantasy of how it never was. Whatever. Okay. Fine by me, I guess. But that's weird, man. That's very weird to me. I get that you're unhappy with the state of things in college football. I just saw a headline yesterday, Dr. J. This really sums up how out of control this is. Caleb Williams has said, or through his people said, first of all, he's already said like he will only play for a select group of NFL teams. So if a team that's not on his list gets the number one pick, he's either going to pull an Eli Manning / John Elway and refuse to play for that team until they trade him, or he'll just come back to college where he could probably make more money anyway next year. But now, I mean, a lot of people were pissed off about that. Yesterday.
Why? That's smart.
Well, because it's the latest evidence of the complete disintegration of the amateurism that people thought still existed in college football and frankly has been on life support at the very best since the 80s. Mm-hmm. Once this thing became a commercial television industry, all that amateurism was dead. And if you think these guys are here to go to school and get a degree, well, I just hope you don't have a driver's license and I hope you don't procreate because those genes should not proliferate. But anyway, the point is, people were upset about that. I get it if you're someone who doesn't like where college football has gone. But then yesterday, this blew me away. Caleb Williams has put out there that whatever NFL team drafts him, he expects part of the contractual negotiations, he expects part of his deal to be an ownership stake in the franchise.
That's not how that works.
Well, first let me say, I give huge kudos for Caleb Williams for being an outside-the-box thinker and a good businessman, because that is really smart. Now that I've said that, people want to talk about Urban Meyer to Michigan State has no chance of happening. I'll tell you what has no chance of happening. The number one overall draft pick or any NFL player at all currently on a roster getting any ownership stake of any team. Because remember, Aaron Rodgers, after he was traded to the Jets this summer, then renegotiated his deal. And he and his agent were trying to get an ownership stake in the Jets. Now, not like a huge chunk, but, you know, a small percentage ownership stake. We don't know how much, but I would guess somewhere around 10%, 5%, something like that. Not massive, not a plurality, certainly not a majority of shares, but a considerable amount that would yield millions of dollars in return on investment annually. They were seriously negotiating it. Woody Johnson was working with Aaron Rodgers and his agent on getting that done. And the NFL intervened and said, we don't do that. That is not allowed. And by the way, people, like, the reason we all know this has been a relatively recent discussion, because there was a rumor or conspiracy theory going around that the Raiders would bring Tom Brady back this year to be their quarterback. Well, there's just one problem. He can't do that until he sells his ownership stake in the Raiders. Remember, he owns a small portion. It's just against NFL policy, right? So I get people that are turned off by where college football is going with Caleb Williams doing that, you know? But anyway, my point is, there are three distinct groups who have been weighing in most on the Urban Meyer Michigan State thing. Again, to recap, Michigan fans who are quivering in their boots at the idea of Daddy Urban coming back to spank their ass regularly. Number two is the media. And number three is Michigan State fans, who I can only describe as self-loathing, that don't believe they should get good things because they're masochists. Have you noticed that the chief argument these people have made over the last month has been Urban Meyer has no character or integrity? He is not the right guy for this job. Not right now, at least. People have invoked the old cliche, urban liar. Right? Have you noticed that all these people whose chief argument against Urban Meyer at Michigan State boils down to character and integrity concerns, that after he spoke Monday and said he had no desire to return to college coaching ranks, these people who have been calling him Urban Meyer for the last 4 weeks now believe his word is his bond? They are now telling you, after a month of just shamelessly tweeting and posting on Facebook nonstop, Urban Liar, are now out there saying, well, I don't know why you wouldn't believe the guy when he says he doesn't want to coach again. Who, you think he's lying? You don't think he's telling the truth? Interesting that pivot is. That's a hard pivot to make so fast, guys. Doesn't really jibe with what you were saying, I don't know, 10 minutes ago. You know, Dr. J, if I didn't know better, I might be inclined to believe these people pushing this narrative aren't being completely honest.
No, couldn't be that.
I gotta say, it seems to me like they only endorse a version of reality that suits their narrative.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Bottom line, this would not be the first time a college coach has said he's not interested in returning or taking a specific job, only to be introduced at that school for that job literally 5 days later. Hell, it wouldn't be the first time Urban Meyer has done that. His dalliance with Ohio State lasted months. Months. The rumors started in May. He had basically just retired from Florida. Started in May. And as recently as 5 days before, November 23rd, 2011, I put a link to it up in my story at thegame730am.com. You can find it. November 23rd, 2011. Urban Meyer said no interest in the Ohio State job. November 28th, 2011, 5 days later, 5 days. Or if my math is correct, 120 hours after telling ESPN he had no interest in the Ohio State job, he was in Columbus at the Ohio State Athletic Complex at a podium with the entire state of Ohio's media there being introduced as the next Buckeyes head coach. Those are facts. It's offensive-minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app, powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Schupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf.
Get your Detroit Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason. Join yours truly, Beanie, from Offensive Minded on the game 7:30 a.m. and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask sales, and everything else. Nachos and kneecaps, presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, is also brought to you by Miller Lite. On Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and the game 7:30 a.m.
Imagine this, winning big at Soaring Eagle. Get more bang for the buck and win an outdoor adventure. Saturdays in October from 5 to 11 p.m., one winner every hour nabs up to $2,000. On the 28th, one lucky guest wins a three-day hunting trip along with a 2023 Polaris UTV. It's bang for the buck, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, your getaway. Reimagine. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Join McLaren Greater Lansing Foundation for the third Cocktails for a Cause, Thursday, October 26th, this year at Lansing Shuffle. This cocktail contest is a 21 and up event and will feature bartenders from local Greater Lansing establishments creating delicious cocktail concoctions. Try samples and vote for your favorite for a chance to win prizes. Tickets are $75 each. Don't miss out on this opportunity to have fun and do good by supporting world-class healthcare at McLaren Greater Lansing. Visit McLaren.org for more info.
Liberty Mutual presents How to Be the Life of the Party.
Okay, first turn the music off. Then ask for everyone's attention. Now tell them that you customized your home insurance with Liberty Mutual and saved hundreds. Boom! Now everyone knows you're not just a pretty face. You have some brains inside that face that know how to save hundreds on home insurance. Woo!
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com. Based on recent survey of new customers who switched and saved. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, or the streamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/gift guide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore our innovative PCs like the XPS 13 laptop, powered by the latest Intel Core processors, plus this season's top accessories. Visit Dell.com/gift guide today to get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/gift guide.
She's running around. Her breath doesn't smell. Her digestive system is perfect. It has made such a huge difference.
What did this dog parent do for their dog? She switched to Nature's Blend, a premium freeze-dried raw dog food made by Dr. Marty Goldstein, a veterinarian Forbes magazine called the miracle worker. It's the easiest way to support your dog's easy digestion, nourished skin, playful energy, and most importantly, their healthy, full life.
I am so confident your dog will love it. Your order is back with a 90-day guarantee.
Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free full-sized bag of Tilly's Treasures dog treats. They're best-selling beef liver dog treats while supplies last. Go to drmartypets.com/deal or text DEAL to 511-511. Go to drmartypets.com/deal or shop in over 2,000 stores nationwide. Use the store locator to find the store closest to you. All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request.
Why would you argue with people online about sports
when you can argue live over the airwaves?
Cut the BS and let's get to the truth.
Sports and sports talk is on The Game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, we're back. Okay, Jim Comperoni, Spartan Mag, everyone knows him. Comes on with Tim all the time, I think, right? Regularly. I think he comes on just out on sports. And, you know, Jim's a pretty connected guy. He's been covering this program, Michigan State Sports, for a long time. It is his livelihood. This is interesting. I'm just now seeing this. Apparently, Jim did a YouTube live sort of podcast last night. Now, I haven't watched it. I'm just going off what people online are saying about it. So, interesting what I'm reading here. Dr. J, I'll just go through it, and we can kind of react point by point. So, apparently, Comp does believe Urban Meyer was in town, as reported. Okay, that's not a big shock. I believe that, too. I've been told by people that that happened. Another point, this is super interesting. Comp is saying that the Board of Trustees made it known this weekend that they would not stand in the way of an Urban Meyer hire at Michigan State. That is huge.
Okay.
And I don't know if I believe that. But I don't want people to hear that I'm calling Comp a liar. That's not what I'm saying. I believe that Comperoni is saying that because he believes that. I'm going to have to see that to believe it, because I just have no faith in these people. And I don't believe Tigers change their stripes. I got to see it before I'll believe it. But wow, if that's true, that kind of shakes my fundamental feeling about the whole situation. Because I think that is one of, if not the preeminent obstacles to it actually happening. Do you believe that, Dr. J, or am I crazy in not believing that?
I really want to believe it, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I got to see it. That's something I simply have to see to believe. Another point, Comp is reporting that Urban Meyer and Michigan State have discussed specific numbers. What do I mean by that? Money numbers, okay? I believe that. I don't think you have an interview without talking about compensation. I don't think that's hard to believe. How about you, Dr. J? Do you buy that? They've talked contract numbers?
Oh, yeah. Definitely buy that.
Okay. And then I guess Jim wraps it up saying he still believes there's only a 3% chance Urban Meyer becomes the head coach at Michigan State. And he's basing that off of now the comments Meyer made Monday at that Knoxville quarterback club. So Comp's thinking there is he says what Urban Meyer said on Monday makes him believe that Urban Meyer took some time to do some serious soul searching and thinking about the MSU opportunity and concluded that he does not want to do it. I could see that. That would make sense. The timing of that makes sense. I could see it. And if that's the case, if that's what really happened, Urban Meyer said all of that at the Knoxville quarterback club because he had, you know, he did meet with Michigan State. They talked about the opportunity and he, you know, went home to think about it and did spend a lot of time weighing the options and then decided, you know what, I don't want to do this. Which I think is distinctly possible. And I would lean towards that being what actually has happened. Without knowing, without having inside info on it. If that is what happened, then that tells me this weekend on Big Noon Kickoff, he should have no problem addressing that. That they will finally mention it on air. If it's officially dead, then it should finally come up. Because I don't think it takes a ton of reading between the lines or ability to do that to have that stand out at you so far, that in the four or five Big Noon Kickoffs that have happened since the Urban Meyer Michigan State stuff started, it has not been even glanced upon on that show, on the hours of that show, which is very peculiar to me. That makes me think that they had a production meeting, or in the production meeting, he made it clear that that was out of bounds. He did not want that coming up. So if it's true, if what Comp is saying happened, did happen, that Urban Meyer interviewed for the job, took some time to think about it, and ultimately decided, you know what, no, this isn't for me. I don't want to do it. Then I look forward to hearing him actually say that, or to say definitively he's not interested in the Michigan State job, because we still haven't gotten that. I don't know. What do you think, Dr. J?
I think that sounds like the most likely explanation. If there's still a 3% chance, though, I'm not going to give up hope that he might still come here.
Yeah, I think
maybe they can convince him to change his mind.
Yeah, if I'm Michigan State, I'm pursuing this until he explicitly says, I will not take this job under any circumstances. Yeah, I would do that. I just think he's too good to pass up on. And the resistance I get on this from people, once we get past my most hated topic of character and integrity, is, well, he's never coached in college football with the NIL and transfer portal era. Okay. I still think Urban Meyer, one of the greatest college football coaches of all time, returning to college football with an NIL and transfer portal that he's not accustomed to, I still think there is a far greater percentage chance of that working out successfully for Michigan State than virtually any other candidate. Whether they have experience with NIL and transfer portal or not, I don't think it matters. I think even considering that, he's still far and away gives you the best chance of working out. Don't you, Dr. J? Do you see someone who could just day one give you a better shot, even with him breaking into the transfer portal NIL stuff for the first time?
Well, absolutely, because he would draw people in from the transfer portal who want to play for him. You know, there would be a good portion of players, I would assume, that would want to play for Urban Meyer. So I think
he's a
built-in recruiting mechanism.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I want to make clear, I don't think you get five-star recruits that way. There's a pretty simple formula to five-star recruits now. It's a five-letter word. It ends with a Y. It starts with an M. And in the middle is un. It's money. That's how you get five-star recruits.
The middle is one.
Yeah, but I made the phonetic sound.
Okay.
Yeah, so you need bags of cash to land five-star recruits. That's how you get them. I don't think Urban Meyer on his own is going to be good enough to lure those guys. Not in today's day and age. But let's be real. We will take four stars. I would take that. Yeah. I think immediately he just hits the ground running. And Michigan State, even after this disaster, I think even with attrition in this roster, if he's the coach next year, and again, even in a brand new Big Ten where it's a tougher schedule year in, year out, I think Michigan State goes from finishing this year, 3-9 probably, to next year, I think you could have him at 9 or 10 wins. I honestly do. I honestly do, because I think he could improve the roster that drastically, and he's certainly an excellent developer and coach. Someone on the Red Cedar message board makes this point, and I got to tell you, I think there's some legs to this. Someone on the Red Cedar message board said that he bets what happened was that when Urban Meyer and Michigan State started talking specifics on money, that Urban Meyer threw out the most outrageous number he thought Michigan State might be in the ballpark of realistically making happen, but that was still like a pie in the sky number. So something like $15 million per year. So Urban Meyer, when they got to that part in the meeting, went something like this. Well, Urban, you know we would love to have you as the coach here, but what would it take? What would you need in terms of a salary? And Urban Meyer says, $15 million per year. And Matt Ishbia says, done. And Urban Meyer's like, oh, bleep. I wasn't prepared for that answer. Maybe that is what happened. he was just throwing out a pie in the sky number he thought for sure would end the discussion and end Michigan State's interest right there. But Matt Ishbia said in a completely unfazed way, okay, no problem. Would you like that in 20s, 100s, or Bitcoin? Maybe. I don't know. Look, it's clear to me Matt Ishbia is not afraid to spend big money. Again, we have a ton of evidence of that. And I'm not talking about Tucker's contract extension. Everyone brings that up. Do you guys realize all he was paying towards that? He was paying $1.2 million per year to help with that. That's a spit in the ocean. That's not the big money. When I say big money, it's the fact that he spent the most money ever on an NBA franchise. He just did that a matter of, what, like 9 months ago. I forget how much, but it was the most expensive. I think it was $4 billion. Yeah, he spent $4 billion to buy the Suns. That's the highest ever for an NBA franchise. As soon as the deal closed, his first week as the majority owner, the first thing he did was invest a ton of resources and money to go out and trade for Kevin Durant. And then just this past week, he also owns, the Suns are a package deal with their WNBA franchise there. It's the Phoenix Mercury. And that's the case in a lot of these markets. So he had to buy them too. And it's not like he's just plugging his nose and going along with it. No, because this past week, he hired an assistant from the Orlando Magic. His name's Nate Tibbetts to be the Mercury head coach. And he made him the highest paid WNBA coach ever. Over $1 million per season. Again, that's a small number for this guy. But also, they also just announced they're spending $100 million to improve the practice facility for the WNBA team he owns down there. Yeah, this guy is not afraid of spending big money. And he's also not shy about hitting the ground running when he gets involved in something. So with the reporting we have and the sources that I've even talked to, who I know are right on this, that Matt Ishbia is the driving force behind the Urban Meyer thing at Michigan State, I am confident money is not the issue. I think based on what I know from people who are in the know and then all of the reporting coming out and rumor milling, I think where we are is the ball is in Urban Meyer's court. I think Michigan State has done and said everything they're willing to give to him to make this happen. And I think it is sufficient. But Urban Meyer now has to decide, does he want to come back to college coaching? And if he does he want to do it at Michigan State? Those are two things I don't know. I do believe he wants to come back and be a head football coach in college again. I'm convinced of that. But Beanie, on Monday, he just said he doesn't want... Yeah, okay. Again, 11 years ago, he said the same thing. 5 days later, he was in Columbus being introduced with a red and gray tie. So I don't put a ton into that. I also don't think these guys who do this at a high level are ever able to turn off that competitive thing. It's just not a switch. He's clearly born to do it. I also don't think he wants his story to end with the abomination in Jacksonville. So I could be wrong on that. The bigger question to me is, does he want to do it at Michigan State? That's where I think we are. And I don't take what he said Monday as any sort of definitive end to this, whether I'm talking about him coming back to coaching at all or at Michigan State. Nope. I don't think that's close to done. Maybe it is. I'll own that if I'm wrong. I wouldn't be surprised if that was negotiating tactics and not necessarily for the Michigan State job either. Because remember, there's a lot of smoke that Texas A&M is going to be available and they have several Matt Ishbias with oil money. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m. We'll go to break. On the other side, I want to debut a new feature. I've done this in the past. You know, everyone does their power rankings. I don't for at least the first portion of the season. What's the point in doing power rankings when nobody's played anybody? You know, I'm not going to do the power rankings while everyone's schedule looks like Michigan's and they're playing lifeless teams from the group of five. You know, I'm not interested in that. Nobody knows how good anyone is. Well, we're half a season in now, and we've had a few big games, especially in the last few weeks. I'm ready to roll it out. It's the Beanstalk, and we'll do it on the other side. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game,
730
a.m.
WVFN,
East Lansing, a Town Square media station. The game, 730 a.m. Lansing's only sports station.
Facing a divorce.
Jackson.
From the Breslin Center to Little Caesars Arena, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the game, 730 a.m.
And we're back. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m. About to talk a little more college football, but hang on 1 second because I want to go to the free game 7:30 a.m. app where the mayor of Holt, John Freeberg, has messaged in. And he wants to know, let me see, did the Lions sign Ibrahim out of Minnesota? Muhammad Ibrahim, the running back. Yes, they did. They signed him today back to their practice squad. That's the news today. Probably due to the injury problem there, right? I mean, this past week we saw like how dire things were getting there. Craig Reynolds played a lot. And by the way, threw the block of the century to spring Amon-Ra St. Brown on that touchdown. Or as some in the media say, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I've heard that. Dr. J, you don't like that?
No, it's clearly Amon-Ra. I don't understand how you could get it wrong.
Amon-Ra. I don't know. That sounds kind of cool. You don't like
Amon-Ra.
It, huh?
Amon-Ra.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
No. It's wrong.
So when if an announcer is like, touchdown, Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're not like,
you like that? You like that?
I'm excited about it, but no, I'm frustrated that they're getting his name wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it's a cool name. Egyptian sun god, right? Very cool. Mm-hmm. John Freeberg, the mayor of Holt, says the Lions keep winning despite all the injuries. Goff is playing very well. Yeah, exactly. He is. And listen, we talked about it on Nachos and Kneecaps, the Lansing area's very own Detroit Lions tailgate show. You can hear that every week. We're on about 2 hours before when the Lions kick off, up to about an hour before kickoff here on the game, 7:30 a.m. and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Yours truly and Brock talking about all the big Lions stories. We give you the injury report availability, if it's available before we get off the air. And we talked about this on Sunday. You know, I've been banging this drum for at least a year, but I don't know why Jared Goff hasn't been re-signed yet. But I do know that the longer this goes, the more expensive he gets, because you can carve the numbers up any way you want. The dude is playing elite level of quarterback. He just gets no love for it because A, he's in Detroit, and B, he's a very milquetoast, boring guy. Like, you hear him in the media, he's always very monotone. He doesn't have anything exciting to say. You know, it's just not flashy. It's not sexy. But he's better than the guy they're going to be playing this weekend who's just got a mega deal. He's a better NFL quarterback than Lamar Jackson. Does he have as good of a 40 time? No. But guess what? Guess who gives you a better chance to win something? It's Jared Goff, because he can actually deliver surgical pinpoint passes with pressure in his face from the pocket. Lamar Jackson throws the ball to the other team when that happens. Or he runs and gets crushed on a hit and coughs the ball up. Or gets hurt and misses a few weeks. The only explanation I can come up with, Dr. J, and I'm not trying to be negative, and I'm not trying to do a bit for radio, but when you have a guy who, make no mistake, over the last 2.5 years is playing at an elite level, Jared Goff's touchdown to interception ratio over the last 2.5 seasons, 64 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. That's elite. You ain't finding many guys better than that. There might be 4 or 5 quarterbacks who have put up better numbers over the last 2.5 years. And over the last 1.5 years, maybe 2 or 3. But when you won't re-sign that guy, by the way, he's only 28. When you won't re-sign him, when he's playing like that, there's only one explanation. And it's that the management and front office do not believe he's the guy to lead you to a championship. That's where I am with that. And then they went and drafted a quarterback in the third round. Well, that's just the latest evidence. Because the Lions are ready to do some damage now. They used a third round pick, which is a pretty damn good pick. That's a good resource. That's good capital to bring in a good player who can help you now. They could have drafted another pass rusher, which they sorely need. They didn't. They drafted not just a developmental quarterback, but a developmental quarterback coming off a catastrophic knee injury. Well, what does that tell you? Long term, they don't think Jared Goff is the guy. If they did, he would have been locked up long before now because he hasn't just started playing well. This is a 2.5 year run that's among the very best in this league. Maybe only, like, over the last 2.5 years, who's been playing quarterback better than Jared Goff? Mahomes and Burrow. That might be it. It ain't Josh Allen. He turns the ball over at an alarming pace. That's the only explanation there is. They just don't think he's the guy to win a Super Bowl. And, you know, it's a shame because I think he is. At least with the way they play in this system, yeah, he's good enough to get you over the hump. Pretty clear to me. The Hendon Hooker pick is so weird. I just don't get it. And, you know, I get a lot of people telling me, well, he's younger. Do people do any, like, just bare minimum Googling before they spew out a bad take? It's just people say what they want to be real as if it's fact. Because the truth is, I hated the Hendon Hooker pick before they even picked it. Because he's old. Guys, Jared Goff is 28, right? Which isn't old, by the way. That's not old for a quarterback. Sorry, he's 29. Okay, he's 29. Do you realize Hendon Hooker is only 3.5 years younger? Hendon Hooker is 25 years old. He was an old college quarterback. This is not the Packers drafting Jordan Love when Aaron Rodgers was 37. That's a big difference. Jared Goff is 29. They drafted a guy who's 3 years younger. Terrible pick. Anyway. I might have screwed this whole segment up. I think I did. Here's what I'm going to do. Because I need enough time to do the beanstalk. I'm going to go ahead and move that to the next segment. What do you think, Dr. J? Does that make programming sense? Are you good with that?
I am good with that.
Do you think
I
that's...
I also love the beanstalk.
That sounded very, very erotic.
I just like the name.
That's going to be a drop as soon as tomorrow, just so you know.
Oh, boy. What have I done?
It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m. Back with the beanstalk that Dr. J can't get enough of.
Stop.
After these words.
There's only one station in Lansing that you've depended on for sports for over 30 years. Some call us by our government-given name of WVFN East Lansing. You can call us by the name the people of Lansing know us by, and that name is The Game, 7:30 a.m. Start your weekday morning with the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout. Middays with Mike Greenberg. Offensive Minded with Beanie Howell. And The Huge Show with Bill Simonson. We're a force to be reckoned with. We're Lansing's only sports station. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
5.
Beanie's back.
Offensive Minded phone lines are open. Call the show at 517-342-63. Text or call us through The Game, 7:30 a.m. app. Message The Game, 7:30 a.m. on Facebook.
This one goes out to Steve, cousin of Jared Goff. And I don't want you to get it twisted. I was not made for loving you, Steve. Yeah. It's just Dr. J, Steve, and I downstairs during show prep today. As the listeners may or may not know, I show prep across the hall from Town Square Media National Production Director Steve, cousin of Jared Goff, every day. And for some reason, Kiss came up today.
Oh.
I forget how, but he out of nowhere says, yeah, you're a big Kiss guy, aren't you? I said, yes. Don't judge me. I'm allowed to have shameful things. I'm allowed to have a secret shame here and there. I also enjoy the Golden Girls. Sue me. I don't care. I'm unapologetically me. But, well, Kiss has a bad reputation among, like, serious music aficionados like Steve Jared Goff.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But he was cool about it. And he just asked me, are they good live? And I was like, oh. Oh, honey. And I told him the story. Remember, Dr. J, you took me to see Kiss. It was the third time I've ever seen them. About a year ago, no, 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. It was a birthday present. The show had got delayed because I think they came down with COVID or something. But you took me to see them at Pine Knob. And that was your first time seeing them, too.
It was. And we took my mom, too. Mom and Jay came along.
Would you corroborate my, my analysis that it's an excellent live performance?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. I wouldn't call it a concert. It's a show because there's pyro, there's fake blood, there's a fake snake, there's spitting fire. Paul Stanley flies over you if you're in the right seats like we were. And then Dr. J fawns over a septuagenarian with nice arms.
He does. He's ripped. Just like he's more ripped than Bruce Springsteen.
That's how it came up. Oh, well, you loved that too when we went to see him a few months ago. Oh, he's ripped.
I like his show way better.
Oh, he's ripped. Well, I don't know if he's ripped. He's just vascular because he's old and doesn't eat enough, it looks like. That's why it came up, because I was making fun of Paul Stanley's stage banter. When he goes, listen, Detroit, I miss you. Do you miss me? Okay, how about I come out there with you? And that's when he flies out over certain parts of the audience where Dr. J fawns like crazy over a guy who's old enough to be her grandpa.
Don't care.
But he's wearing heels and face paint and lipstick and a wig.
Ooh. Cool.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I have lost cabin pressure. It's time for, we're bringing back a fun weekly segment. Everybody gives you their power rankings. That's not what these are. This is the college football beanstalk. And the way it works is, I rank the top 10 teams in college football, not based on what they've done, not based on the accomplishments of the past week, but this ranking is subjective to me, and it's based on who I think would beat whom on a neutral site if the game were played this very instant. I give you the top 10 teams in reverse order. It is the College Football Beanstalk. We'll start at number 10, and I would highly encourage any Michigan State fan who is looking to salvage their college football season to have some semblance of joy these remaining weeks. It's okay to pick a temporary team, and that's what I've done. I've picked a team to dedicate myself to watching every week as best I can, if available, where available. Obviously, I'm still going to watch Michigan State because, you know, I have a heart. It's where I went to school. But more importantly, I'm a professional, and I can't come on here and bitch about it with you if I haven't watched it and followed it just as closely. But you can have a surrogate team. It's okay. And I've done that, and I would encourage you to do the same with number 10 in this week's Beanstalk, the Oregon State Beavers.
Go Beavs!
My Beavers, your Beavers, our Beavers. Man, is this team fun to watch, especially at home in Corvallis. You know, that stadium they just renovated, it only seats about 35,000 people, but it's so intimate. It's on top of the field. There's this big-ass overhang that keeps the sound in, and for some reason, it's always foggy. Something the Twilight movies got right, the Pacific Northwest permanently encased in a cloud of fog. Anyway, Oregon State, fun to watch, but also really good. You're gonna have a hard time finding a team that is a better power running scheme that's also pretty stout up front against the run on defense. They have a good combo here. So I'll tell you where they rank in the AP poll. They're ninth this week. They're 6-1 on the season. They just destroyed UCLA and Corvallis. The final score was 36-24. It wasn't that close. And they humiliated Detroit's own Dante Moore, who's in his freshman season and is starting for Chip Kelly and the UCLA Bruins. Oregon State pounded them. Their only loss on the season, by the way, a 3-point road loss at then-ranked Washington State. Oregon State is legit, but more than that, they're fun to watch because when they take the ball away, they play a chainsaw sound effect over the stadium speakers, and they have a turnover chainsaw that the guy who comes up with the fumble or interception gets to fire up and run around with on the sideline. I mean, what more could you ask for?
What more could you ask for, you say? The mascot dual-wielding chainsaws. There is a mascot beaver holding two chainsaws running around.
Vinny the Beaver comes out dual-wielding chainsaws. They're firing up the chainsaw sound effect throughout the stadium. The player who comes up with the loose ball or pick, whatever, is firing up a real chainsaw, sans the chain. They wear the colors orange and black. Is there anything better for spooky season? Or smoky season. Apparently, I've been in smoky season today with my handling of some of the show. Is there anything better for spooky season than these loaded Oregon State Beavers? They're number 10 in this week's Beanstalk. Moving on to number 9, Alabama, who's 11th in this week's AP poll, 6-1. All right, so they eked out a 3-point win against Arkansas at home in Tuscaloosa. And we know the one loss this season was a lopsided one they absorbed at home at night under the lights against Texas. Embarrassing, but impressive for Texas. I have Alabama 9th. And again, this is based on who I think would beat whom on a neutral site right now. This is a hierarchy of who I think the best teams are. And I know Alabama is not our typical Alabama. The quarterback play is erratic, even though they've settled on Milrow. And, you know, they're a little disjointed at times. Their defense is certainly not an up to par for Nick Saban defense, but this is still Alabama. They're still loaded with guys who are going to be playing on Sundays. It may not all be as pretty as it usually is, but this is still one of the best 10 teams. I have them at 9 in this week's Beanstalk. On to number 8, I have the AP poll ranked 6th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners, 6-0, coming off a bye. They still have one of the best wins all season. They beat Texas in the Red River rivalry at the very end. Look, it's hard to deny what Brent Venables has done in year two. He's the defense, although still a Big 12 defense, much better from a year ago. Dylan Gabriel, so little. But then again, so was Kyler Murray, and he won a Heisman there. The offense is high-flying, things are clicking, and they beat Texas. But as you'll see later, I'm not sure that matters too much for where the season's going to go, but I'll have him at 8. Moving on to number 7. I have the 2-time national champion, Georgia Bulldogs. They are 7th in this week's Beanstalk. Beanie, how can the number 1 team in the poll, who's 7-0 and has won 2 straight national championships, be just 7th in your Beanstalk rankings? Simple. It's my Beanstalk rankings, not yours. Also, there's this. Again, it's based on who I think would beat whom right now on a neutral site. And you got to remember, whoever Georgia would play right now, they wouldn't have their best player and maybe the best player in all of college football, Brock Bowers, who is now out for the year after suffering an ankle injury that requires surgery in their 37-20 win at Vanderbilt. If you watch Georgia, there's no doubt they are not the Georgia of the past 2 years. Their defense is not nearly as impenetrable, and they're not as efficient running the ball on offense. And no matter whether you loved him or hate him, Stetson Bennett ain't there anymore. And he was, you know, a calming veteran presence there. I mean, he ought to be. He was like 30 years old. So they just don't have that. That doesn't mean they can't win it all again. But now without Brock Bowers, I'm officially moving Georgia off of my pick to three-peat. I don't see it now. And I have them 7th in the Beanstalk. Now, remember, the way the Beanstalk works is the higher the team is, I think they can beat everyone else. I think they would beat everyone else lower than them on a neutral site right now. One of those teams I think would beat Georgia on a neutral site right now is number 6 in this week's Beanstalk, the 3rd-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes, who are 7-0 on the season. Last week, they pounded Purdue on the road, 41-7. We still don't know a ton about Ohio State. They have one of the better wins this year in all of college football when they won on the road at Notre Dame at night. Okay, that's fine. I give them credit for playing someone in the non-conference with a pulse. Not everyone wants to do that. So kudos there, and they won at the end when it mattered most. Would they have won if Marcus Freeman could count to 11? Probably not, but I digress. Ohio State 6th in my Beanstalk. I do think they would beat Georgia on a neutral site right now. Again, Georgia doesn't have their best player anymore. That counts a lot. Ohio State, although shaky, remember, they're just 10 days removed from being down double digits at home to Maryland. Ohio State, I think, has improved defensively, but the drop-off on offense is just too much for me to ignore. Obviously, they lose a complete stud at quarterback, C.J. Stroud, who is looking like the best quarterback in that class so far. But they're breaking in two new starters at both tackle positions, and it's manifested on the field. You can see it. They are just not crisp offensively. They still can't run the ball the way the Urban Meyer power running scheme was under him at Ohio State. And Travion Henderson is constantly hurt. Ohio State's got issues, but I still think, to me, there's only five teams in the country that could beat them on a neutral site. And one of them is, coming in at number five in this week's Beanstalk, the Michigan Wolverines, who are number two in the AP poll and 7-0, coming off of a 52-7 win at home over IU. Down 7-0 early, all they did was go to work and roll off 52 unanswered points and completely outclassing Indiana, just like we knew they would. What more can you say about Michigan that hasn't already been said? Yes, their schedule is embarrassingly soft. So be it. Everyone that they've lined up in front of them, they have pretty much dominated. Did they struggle against Bowling Green a few weeks ago? Yes, in an embarrassingly scheduled night game that has no business being played at night. Again, you can't blame them for that. The Big Ten sold its soul to NBC. The point is, though, Michigan is one of, if not the most complete team in college football. And you're going to see it up close and personal on Saturday night if you have the stomach for that kind of thing. Yeah, it's going to be bad because Michigan is excellent. They do every little thing right. They don't make mistakes. They don't beat themselves. And frankly, it looks like more of the same over the last couple of years. By the time the season shakes out, we'll know how they compare to last year's team. I don't think they're as good as last year. I just don't. They're not running the ball as well. That's for damn sure. Donovan Edwards, after several very unfortunate anti-Semitic remarks over the past year, made an somehow even dumber remark this offseason when he said he was going to revolutionize the running back position and go down as one of the all-time greats, and he has been a complete underwhelming disappointment so far. I don't know what's going on there, but that's enough to put me down, have me put them at five. I think there are four teams that would beat Michigan on a neutral site. That's all, though, only four. Michigan is really good, and Saturday is going to be really painful for those of us in green and white. One of the four teams in the country I think could beat Michigan on a neutral site right now is number four in this week's Beanstalk, the Texas Longhorns. But Beanie, they already have a loss. Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma, teams you have listed below them in your rankings are all undefeated. So, this is based on who I think would win on a neutral site right now. But Beanie, Oklahoma just beat Texas on a neutral site 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. And I don't think that'll happen again. And I think I will have that borne out via visual evidence when these two teams meet in the Big 12 title game and Texas wins the rematch. But we can wait until that happens in December. Texas, I think, might be the most complete team in college football. They've got it all. They've got NFL talent at every level of the defense, and we know they've got it all over the offense. But to me, what sets Texas apart is the amount of NFL talent in the trenches on both sides of the ball. I don't see anyone who can match that. Now, Oklahoma outplayed them and scored at the very end. They did the right thing, got the ball last, right, and won the game. Kudos to them. Take nothing away from that. That's one of the most impressive wins on the calendar so far. But here's the thing. It's a rivalry game, and stuff like that can happen. Wait, what? I would just caution you to wait and see what happens when they undoubtedly play again in the Big 12 title game. Texas, I think, will roll. Not just win, but roll Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game. If they played right now in neutral site again, I'd pick Texas, and I don't think it would be 3 points. I don't think it'd be close. I'm just a big believer in what they have. Number three in my Beanstalk this week, I have the number 12 Oregon Ducks, 5-1, fresh off that heartbreaking loss at Washington. Maybe they're higher. Maybe they're undefeated still, and Washington's the one that's heartbroken. If Dan Lanning makes some different decisions on three different fourth downs, I don't know. I like the aggression. I get that he's playing the analytics. Sometimes I think we outsmart ourselves, though, in these situations. But I digress. Oregon's still elite. And despite allowing 36 points to Washington, that's not really a shame. Washington has probably the best quarterback in college football this year and three guys who will be playing wide receiver in the National Football League. They are absolutely loaded on offense, and their defense ain't anything to sneeze at either. But Oregon has an elite pass defense that Michael Penix abused. And that's okay, because he's an NFL quarterback. And that's why we're going to talk about him a little bit later on. But Oregon, make no mistake, still one of the best three teams in the country as far as I'm concerned. I only see two teams right now that would beat Oregon on a neutral site. And one of them is number two in this week's Beanstalk, the Florida State Seminoles, who are 6-0 and ranked fourth in the AP poll. Coming off a 41-3 win versus Syracuse, I don't really care about that. Look at Florida State. We've seen them play a couple of legit teams. Whether, you know, you love or hate LSU or Clemson, it doesn't matter. Those are bona fide Division I, you know, brand names. And Florida State abused LSU, just abused them. They didn't abuse Clemson, but they took care of business and won on the road. That's not easy to do in a conference game at a power like that. Give them credit for that, and give them credit for having one of the most balanced offenses in all of college football. Just absolutely lethal. How do you defend this team? Jordan Davis is a hell of a quarterback, and he's got awesome weapons in the name of, brace yourself, this is going to make you want to vomit, Keon Coleman, who made another NFL-caliber highlight reel catch this weekend, snagging a ball that was at least 6 feet above his head with one hand. Just a thing of beauty. And it's not it either. They got the other guy. I forget his last name. The tall wide receiver. Really lanky, not nearly as fast as Keon Coleman. But that dude, if it's within 10 feet of him, he catches it. Awesome offensive line. They can run the ball, and they can impose their will on good defensive fronts. And their defense is kind of loaded with talent, too. What's not to like about Florida State? I think they're the second best team in the country right now. Only looking up at one team. Number one in this week's Beanstalk, the team that I would take to beat anyone else right now on a neutral site is the Washington Huskies. And here's why. They've got the best quarterback, and sometimes that's all that matters. If Washington is within one score and gets the ball last, you are going to lose. You will lose. You cannot stop Michael Penix and his cadre of professional receivers masquerading as amateurs. He cannot be stopped. I don't know how many times we have to see this, but the dude is legit. And he's left-handed. You don't see that all too often. But Washington has the best college football quarterback right now, and he has three pro receivers to play with. It's not fair. It's like a cheat code. I don't even need to know about their defense or their running game. It doesn't matter. As long as Washington's defense keeps it within one score and they get the ball back to end the game, they won't lose. They are incapable of losing in those situations. And that's why they're atop my Beanstalk this week. That's the Beanstalk for, what is it, week 8. We're more than halfway there. Do it again in a week. We'll see how it shakes out. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the Game, 7:30 a.m. Back to wrap it up with you after these words.
Get your Detroit Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason. Join yours truly, Beanie from Offensive Minded on the Game, 7:30 a.m. and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask sales, and everything else. Nachos and kneecaps, presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, is also brought to you by Miller Lite. On Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and the Game 7:30.
Back to the best in sports talk now. We're Lansing's number one source for sports talk. The Game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, we're back to wrap it up, as the music would indicate. But before I do, I do have some breaking news from Michigan State basketball. Hey, stop me if you've heard this one before. A preseason injury for MSU Hoops. So I see Chris Solari and others reporting it. I'll read from Chris's story on the Free Press, freep.com. Headline, Michigan State basketball's Jackson Kohler undergoes foot surgery, will miss start of the season. So the story, according to Chris, is he had surgery on his left sole, on his left foot. He'll miss the beginning of the season. He had surgery Tuesday in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's not a season-ending procedure. MSU spokesperson told the Free Press, Kohler is expected to return before Christmas. All right, so he's a sophomore now, 6'9", 245 from Utah. He averaged 3 points and three rebounds over 11 minutes per game last year. He played all 34 games as a true freshman. He made 50.5% of his shots, only 25% on free throws. Anyway, yeah, I think that's an issue because they were already thin up front last year. We know that. So Mati Sissoko is the starting center. They're expecting more out of Carson Cooper this year, the 6'11 kid. But they also have Xavier Booker, the five-star freshman. My understanding is he's going to play more of the four, though, because of, you know, his body just isn't fleshed out enough to handle that, especially with the likes of Zach Edey patrolling the paint in the Big Ten. But, hey, I mean, it's just the way it goes. It seems like every year someone is hurt before the season even starts for MSU Hoops. It just seems to always happen, right? Last year it was Jaden Akins. I guess this is okay. He'll be back by Christmas. But remember, you know, we're 4 weeks from yesterday is the Champions Classic against Duke from the United Center in Chicago. And they could use Jackson Kohler in that game. So it sucks. But just for whatever reason, it's how it always seems to freaking go. There it is for you, all right? Got that in before we finish the show today. Dr. J, before we sign off, any parting thoughts, or to quote Jerry Springer, was it him? Was he the one that said, what did you learn today? No, he said, be good to yourself and each other. Well, I'm going to ask you, what did you learn today? That was Dan Patrick. He always said, what did you learn today, Dr. J? What did you learn?
There's still a chance that Urban Meyer will come and coach Michigan State.
Oh, that's great. So essentially what Dr. J learned today is,
so you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah!
That accurate?
Yep.
Dr. J, you know we have football tonight. There's college football on the air tonight. I see two games tonight. There's Florida International at Sam Houston, 7 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. The Sam Houston State Bearcats laying 5.5 if you're a gambling degenerate that needs something to bet on. And then at 9 o'clock, ESPN2 has New Mexico State at UTEP. What a thriller. Hey, you know what, though? We're making fun of it, but I do like when we get to this part of the season where there's virtually football every stinking day. What a great time of year. I do love that. Florida International, by the way. No, it's not. It's a road game for them. Never mind. Next time you get a chance to watch FIU, if they're at home, check it out, because they have a turnover Lamborghini parked on the sideline that the players all go pose with for a photo op when they get a turnover. I forget they're playing UTEP last week, and UTEP picked off FIU, and then their whole defense went and posed with the turnover Lamborghini. Very, very baller move. Beanie approves. I'm Beanie, and I approve that baller dope move. That's it for us today. We're back tomorrow, 4 to 6. Until then, be safe and be good. Hey.